Throughout church history, God often chooses to set certain of his servants aside to meet with him in a way that couldn't have happened in a busier place. It's the angel of the Lord wrestling with Jacob, or God meeting Moses in the wilderness. It's Cuthbert and Columba on remote northern islands, from which unlikely places they take the gospel right across the nation. It's Wycliffe being rejected by the church authorities and being forced to leave Oxford, but so that he can get on translating the Bible into English as a result. It's John Bunyan in prison refusing the poison-tipped offer of his captors to be granted his freedom, if only he would promise not to preach the gospel. It's Luther at Wartburg Castle translating the Bible into German, which became the medium by which so many Germans learnt to read. And it's so many others who've reached a place of deeper anointing and spheres of greater influence as a result of their time alone with God. You may well have noticed in your own life how God sometimes has to get us on our own in order to do his deepest work. Rather, as Jesus himself ultimately accomplished more in terms of saving the world when he died on the cross than when he was out and about ministering to the sick and needy. Now this is so entirely counterintuitive both to the ethos of modern society and to standard Christian expectations and theology that it's worth unpacking in a little more detail. John's time on Patmos appears to the outward eye to be essentially passive, with things being done to him rather than him being able to initiate things for himself. But it ended up in powerful revelation rather than in emptiness. There's heavenly maths at work here. One yielded heart plus God can sometimes accomplish more than God plus a bustling heart. And to put that another way, effective doing often comes out of determined being with the Lord. And even when something precious like John's ministry to the churches around Ephesus comes to a full stop or even a seeming death, we must be prepared to hand it all back to the Lord and trust that he knows what he's doing so that his new purposes can flow freely. Listen to what the Lord Jesus declared in the book of Revelation. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. For death itself is but the passing point, the transition to the glory of heaven, which isn't far away, but just another dimension. And the stronger our longing for heaven, the more in tune we'll be with his heart, and the more able to realize our at-oneness with the Lord, which is the original meaning of atonement, because one-ment is the old English word for unity. Our union with Christ is so precious to him, as well as to us. Which brings us to another point. When we see people making choices that, in our opinion, look likely to damage that union and to cramp and restrict the freedom of the Holy Spirit, it's often tricky to know whether to point these things out or just to lift the situation to the Lord and leave it to him to sort out. Given that our perspective is by no means automatically right, it can often be a kindness to let people find out things for themselves. But the scriptures also remind us that open rebuke is better than hidden love, and that whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain more favour than the one who has a flattering tongue. I often prefer to give prophetic hints rather than having to spell matters out, because the spiritually sensitive will cotton on and act accordingly. But some people are so lacking in empathy that they simply cannot read between the lines and take a hint, and they need to have matters spelt out for them. There's no automatic right and wrong. We have to seek the Lord what to do each time. But if we're concerned for each other's eternal well-being, why be fluffy? Think what a disaster it would have been for the future of the church if Paul had not confronted Peter in the way that he did in Galatians. What if John on Patmos had received God's warnings for the seven churches but then kept them to himself? These were perspectives that needed to be shared. Are there warnings that the Lord would have you pass on to others? Or are there matters that you should just take privately to God? Are you open to be corrected yourself? On Patmos, John was facing a constant barrage of, well, at best, indifference from the authorities and at worst, outright hostility, which is exactly what Jesus experienced throughout his public ministry. And it's impossible to describe how sapping this can be. Almost all his miracles were done against a backdrop of prying eyes, hostile Pharisees, skeptical Sadducees, Roman informants, just as millions of government spies in the former East Germany spied on the whole nation, or as is currently happening today in countries like North Korea, makes life so wearing and so dangerous for believers. The wonderful thing is that Jesus didn't do what so many leaders do and allow the constant misunderstanding and hostility to slow him down or incline him to retreat into something theoretically safer, but that would actually have crushed the life of the Spirit. So many of us are only willing to step out of conditions that are favourable. Nice warm room full of friendly, supportive people, comforting sense of the Holy Spirit. No, let's face it, most of the missionaries whom God has really used did not see 3,000 people come to Christ when they first preached the gospel. They had to persevere through years of intense hostility and discouragement until the gospel took root in new regions. The first Protestant missionary to China saw just one convert in the first decade of his ministry, and I rather think he backslid, and only one more in the next 10 years. Who could have guessed then that this incredibly small-scale work in a formidably hostile country would one day expand to bring millions of Christians seeking the Lord with the fervour we know all too little of in the rational West? It's reckoned that by 2050, China will have more Christians in than any other country in the world. But there's no room for complacency, for that still leaves an awful lot who have yet to meet the High King of Heaven. Not to mention the fact that it's also expected that there will be more Muslims in that country than anywhere else in the world too. But just think of all that would have been missed if those early missionaries had concluded that the ground was too hard. People paid a high price to sow the seed of the gospel in Chinese soil, and in so many other places too. And praise God for today's pioneers too. Whether the soil that they are sowing in is primarily stony or fertile, may they be faithful and creative. Let's take the time to lift them to the Lord now.